The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time. When you feel it,
that's my salvation. That's Project Infidelica by request for you right here on Radio Memphis Around the World. Song is called Landslide Salvation. And for those of you who may not realize who was in that band, you got little Pancho Tomaselli, Chris Moore, Angelo Moore, and George Lynch. Yeah, some good stuff right there. Thanks, guys, so much again for tuning in to Radio Memphis Around the World. Today, Saturday, October the 14th. And, of course, you know, every once in the blue moon, we always get to bring you what? An alert. That's right. You've seen the logos. It's time for a Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Alert brought to you by Kimbar Films and Radio Memphis. And what we're doing is we're bringing more insight to the table for our emerging artists and entertainers by sitting down with some of the best industry pros that work behind the scenes. Now, today is a very, very special one, because if you guys have been following some of the stuff that we've been doing, you know, there's been very specific people and key people that we've been talking to. Well, this next individual that we're going to be able to bring on air with us is actually a key person to all of them. Now, a lot of you may not know, but, you know, being a native from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Mr. Joe Gannon is probably one of the most influential under the radar persons in the music and entertainment business. Now, he's made his own career as a record producer, director, musical stage lighting, and production designer. He, believe it or not, he ran Frank Zappa's company, Bizarre Records. He's produced records for CBS. Joe has even staged Madonna's first film appearance. Now, Gannon is probably one of the first production designers to use moving sets on rock concert tours, and he did that while working with Neil Diamond. He took the responsibilities of being Neil's road manager, lighting director, and show consultant in the early 70s, and because of his involvement, he was credited as the reason for the great improvement in Neil's stage presentations by the time the legendary 72 Hot August Night concert series had actually hit. Now, he's traveled the world. He's worked with people like Teddy Pendergrass. He's worked with Luther Vandross, Barry Manilow, Julio Iglesias, Kansas, Blondie, Diana Ross. I mean, the list goes on and on. He's also created visions for people like MTV. Now, he's had the opportunity to work with almost every entertainer that's was pretty much represented by the rock and roll manager Shep Gordon, including, okay, here's the connection, shock rocker himself, Alice Cooper. All right, so he was one of the ones that was really, I mean, going on, you know, some of Alice's visions and stuff like that. He was able to pretty much help create the vision and the three-dimensional nightmare of magic and crazy coolness that everybody has become accustomed to. And pretty much, you know, by doing so, you know, he set pretty much, you know, a standard for the ultimate rock show, and it was the one of a kind stage show that generated more press than music itself. There's so much things that, you know, so many things. There's so much history with him, and there's a lot of other things that you may not know about Joe, including how he's got started in his earlier career, which includes bands with like the King's Trio. Kingston's Trio. So what we need to do is that instead of going on and on and on, I need to bring Mr. Gannon live with me on air, all the way in from Hawaii. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, kid?
I am fantastic. I want to thank you for stopping down your world and sharing some time with me live right here on Radio Memphis. I love you so much for doing this.
No, it's great. It really brings back more memories than you can imagine.
You know, honey, you have seen the gamut, and you've seen the world turn, and you've seen it come back around again, you know, with all of your experience. And you know, for you, of everybody I've been able to talk to with all of these cool interviews and these cool, you know, conversations and shows that we've been doing, you know, based on Road Crew and stuff, you were the one that, and everybody was so excited to know that you were coming on, because everybody has listed you as somewhat of an influence in their world. No matter what it is they were doing, they learned from you. And so this has been, they may not tell you that, Joe.
well, that's good.
But the beautiful thing, honey, the beautiful thing about you is that, you know, when we talk about trailblazers and we're talking about people who are trying to figure things out, you know, and how to make shows happen, you are on the front end of, okay, I literally am working with nothing, with dust, and I'm going to make this magic happen. And I think one of the things I want to start with you is, you know, how you got started early, you know, in your early world, even being part of a band.
Well, actually, I've got a list of about 50 people in front of me that I work with.
Uh-oh.
And And so I'll just read off the names, and you tell me when to stop.
I'm not going to tell you to stop. I want to hear the whole list.
Okay, so the Kingston Trio,
okay.
Mothers and Brothers,
mm-hmm.
Herb Alpert, the Baja Marimba Band, Brazil 66, Alice Cooper, Bill Cosby, Liza Minnelli, Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow, Julio Iglesias, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What? What do you mean, et cetera, et cetera? I thought you were going to read me the list, Joe.
Oh, okay. So Barry Manilow, Julio Iglesias, Ann Murray, Kansas, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Luther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass, Diana Ross, Willie Nelson, Paul McCartney, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Glenn Campbell, I loved him.
Oh, wow.
Raquel Welch,
wow.
Burton Cummings, Guess Who, Kiss, We Five, Tiny Tim, Deep Purple, ZZ Top, Hello Dolly, Tim Buckley, Frank Zappa, Linda Ronstadt, Fred Neal, everybody's talking to me, Blondie, Yellow Jackets, Jack Benny,
Holy smokes.
Jerry Hahn, Brotherhood, the Brothers Sing, Allman Brothers, Allman Brothers, Lenny Bruce, Red Balloon, and that's about it.
I'm sorry, that's about it. Those of you who've tuned in, I'm talking to the amazing Joe Gannon. You are killing me. You are killing me, man. You've worked with anybody and everybody that's pretty much kind of shaped the music industry as we know it as influence. And you were there. You were part of
yeah,
all
well,
that. You know?
I mean, you know, pick a, you know, like, start out with the Baja Marimba Band. I traveled with the Baja Marimba Band.
Okay.
For about a year or so, and they were great. They're unbelievable.
Wow.
Actually, the Baja Marimba Band, the guy that led the thing is Jerry Wexler. Jerry, he started, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, and he played marimba behind them when they did their session, so that the people that were in the band were not the same band that recorded for Jerry Moss.
Wow.
They were, they were part, the Baja, and they were part Jerry, they were part everybody.
Wow. That's insane. And see, the thing about you, you know, you got your start, you came back, did stuff as far as with the Navy, you came back, you went to school, you were in college, and you wound up hooking up with some of the guys that eventually would become the Kingston Trio. But while you were doing it, the Clipsonians, that you were actually a part of, you yourself?
Yes, but actually, when we worked the we did the Kingston Trio. The Kingston Trio started out with Nick Remmels and Dave Gard and myself and a lady by the name of Beverly Bogue. And it was a quartet. And then all of a sudden they said, well, the two guys got together. They were wonderful guys. And they got together and said, "Hello, Joe, you don't sing too good. You can't play the bass like a shit. I think we can try to go on for better things. And why don't you get out of the thing?" So I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'll get out." They said, "But the girl has to stay,
They kicked you out of the band?
Well, I can't do that. I mean, yeah, sure, fine, okay. So she said, no, I don't want to with you mess around with you. I'm going to hang out with this Irishman." So that was the end of that. So they went on to, I fixed them up with their manager, and a year and a half later, they were the hottest act in the country.
Yes. And, and you wound up, it's funny because, one of the things that you did was, you finished up school, you wound up, I guess going back to Minneapolis or something, you wind up going
right.
and being a manager for like a grocery store. And about the time when you started hearing this music, you realized you were in the wrong place.
Right.
And you needed to come back to the music business, and so you did.
So when we were in Minneapolis, my wife said to me, she had a baby, and I said, "Oh my God, this is what's going on here?" I had no idea what was going on. A baby, huh?
What am I going to do with one of these, right?
I said, wait a minute, kid. Anyway, that young lady is about 68 years old right now, so, that's where that was. So we jumped into the thing, And I said, hey, I got to get out. I went to Minneapolis, transferred to Milwaukee, and I got to Milwaukee, and I said, no, that's just not for me. I got to go back.
Yeah.
So I went back to the West Coast, and my wife had a, we had a deal. She could sing like crazy.
She oh, wow.
Marvelous singer.
Wow.
And we went back, and we did an album. I think it was The Travelers 3. I don't know what the hell it was.
okay.
Anyway, we did an album for The Travelers.
Okay.
And that was it. And we came back, and she was pregnant again. And she stood on stage until December 1st. And I think my daughter was born. December 6th.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So she took it to the gamut all the way.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to the end. Wow. So
yeah.
So Joe, you come back and you start doing this music and stuff. Now how is it that you also wind up really kind of getting in on the business side, you know, of the industry? You know, you actually wind up kind of, you know, kind of rolling in and working in with some labels and stuff like that. I think there was a stint, you know, and there was a couple of remarks about you doing stuff with A&M Records and you and stuff doing with Tetragram Records, you know, and things like that. How is it that you showed up on that side of the fence first?
Well, let's see.
It's okay. We got time, sweetie.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to LA. I got a call from from A&M Records. Mm-hmm. Come down and run their management company. So I said, okay, well, I'll go down to, and you know, everybody stay here, meaning my wife and the kids and whatever. And so I went down to LA and Hollywood and start. I managed a group called the Baja Mamba Band.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the Baja Mamba Band was, you know, just like a combination of, you know, about 15, not 15, but about 10 Jewish guys
right.
from North Hollywood. They were all super players.
Wow.
They were absolutely the best players ever. I mean, you know, Curry Jader, so, you know, it was ridiculous.
Wow.
And so I managed them, and I staged their act, to do whatever, and we ended up in Lake Tahoe with Jack Benny, and the opening act was the Baja Mamba Band, and then Jack Benny. So it was great for me for two weeks I spent with Jack Benny.
Wow.
You know, and he and I golfed together, and whoa, man, it was you know, it was like with my hero, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was something else, man. He, you know, anyway. So we got up there, and they had certain dressing rooms. So I took a dressing room, and that upset the group. So, you know, we got back, and the guy said, hey, you can't play management. You're fired. I said, why? I didn't do anything wrong. You did. You just stepped all over the people, you fucking dummy. So I said, okay. So I said, thank you very much, and I left.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So you leave, and then you're looking around, you know, Joe, and you're like, all right, well, what do you decide to do at that point? Because you're not done with the business.
At that point, I mean, I just sort of like, you know, I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? And a guy comes by, and I can't remember his name. There's two guys. Anyway, they said, hey, do you want to produce, we have Hello Dolly.
Okay.
You want to produce Hello Dolly for the West Coast? I said, yeah, sure.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
I just happen to be free. Sure.
I happen to be free. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, I'm free. So in the meantime, I go and I produce. Oh, I got to tell you a story.
Sure.
The girl who's in Hello Dolly,
mm-hmm.
is a name that you may not recognize.
Okay.
She is what the hell is her name? yeah, I'm losing it now.
That's okay.
Her name is Jesus, I can't think of.
That's okay.
Anyway, she was the co-star of Bob Hope Frank Sinatra, another Bob Hope, and What was the other guy's name? There was two guys. They worked the road shows. They were called the road shows.
Okay.
Anyway.
You can see it. You can see it at the tip of your tongue, right?
Entourage of that group, and that is the most out there kind of stuff.
Wow.
That you could ever get involved with. I was never around it that much, but I hello, how are you? And my name is blah blah blah. And right here. It was unbelievable. Anyway, that's where that was.
And then you wound up doing this. You know, it's funny, and for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Mr. Joe Gannon as part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series. So here's the thing. You know, if anybody really kind of looks up you figures out who you are and what you've done, and of course, you know, we got to hear the fantastic list of people you've worked with. The thing that you're known for is the stage show that you're able to put together, you know, through a vision.
Yes.
Was that something purpose for you, or you just fell into that, and that was something you're good at? Did you purposely decide this is what you were going to do?
Well, no, actually. What happened was that with the Kingston Trio, I worked with a guy by the name of Frank Werber.
Okay.
Frank Werber ran the whole show. He was beginning, middle, and the end, and without him, the trio would never have been. And he taught me everything. He taught me lighting. He taught me sound. He taught me, and I don't know where he got it from, but he broke it down into life sort of things that you do in life. You know, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. And he taught me how to work it out, and each act had that.
Wow.
Had a beginning, a middle, and had an end.
Okay.
And, oh, really? Yeah, it's real simple, Joe. So I said, okay, and when I went on to do other things, I kept that in mind.
I see.
When it first came up to, you know, really do a thing like with the Bahamur and the band, I thought, wow, beginning, okay, they'll come out, we'll think of something to do with it, come, oh, okay, then we'll do this, and then there's a middle, and then there's a big end, of which I had figured out what the ending would be, and then we'd go out on a real nice, quiet kind of thing, and so it was win, 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 so I just had the knowledge that's the way it was done.
And that's the way you were going to do it. So, you know, you wind up, you know, you wind up, you know, kind of, you know, getting this niche as far as, you know, with shows and stuff. Now, how does Frank Zappa, you know, fall into your world?
Jesus, I don't know, but I ran his record company for about a year.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got out of, I had done my shot with a lady, you know, Hello Dolly, and we did that whole thing. I got out of that.
Was that Carol Channing?
What?
Was that Carol Channing? I know that she did it at one point.
Mikel Fanning, no. Her name was, can't think. I will think of it when we're all through with this.
Yeah, that's okay. Just tell me.
Yeah.
Not
so a I
problem.
Got out of the thing, and the guy in a hurry, Herbie Cohn, called me and said, you know, you got to come and, you know, work for me. I just signed a new record contract, and da 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 da.
Okay.
So I said, okay, what is it? And he says, hey, this is it, and you get 5%, 10%, and 15% of the company as it goes.
Wow.
And it'd be a 3-year contract. So I said, oh, sounds great to me.
Okay.
So I went to work for him, and Herbie represented such people as Tim Buckley. I don't know if you remember him.
I remember the name.
And Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
And you remember her. And and Frank Zappa.
Wow.
Which you remember. And and that was it. And he said, you'll run this record company. And I said, yeah, okay, sure, I'll run the record company. So the first thing I got into is that there's this act. I don't know what the name of it is. It's called the Running Rebels or something. Rapping thing.
Right, right.
And so I continue on, and they said, well, go out and see what they are, and Frank wants to sign them, whatever. So I said, okay, yeah, fine. So I go out and I look at them. I listen to them in a real big place, you know,
mm-hmm.
someplace in West Hollywood or wherever it was, I don't remember. I come back and I say, yeah, well, they're fine. I like their voice. He said, I just couldn't understand what they were doing. And they threw sheets over themselves at the end of the thing. And you saw this bobbling of sheets running around. I said, I like the vocals, but what, you know?
What are they doing? Right.
Shut up. I said, okay. They said, sign them. I said, well, yeah, well, give me a name. They said, well, it's Alice Cooper. I said, oh, yeah, okay, sure, Alice Cooper, you know. So I said, well, I sign them. I call up, you know, Alice Cooper, say, hey, come to my office right away. Oh, you know, no. We're going to sign you up. Oh, yeah, I did. So they all show up the next day, whatever. And they said, this is my manager, Shep Gordon and Joe Greenberg.
Wow.
I said, what? What are you talking about? And they said, you know, it's what it is. So I said, okay. So I said, Shep, Joe, you come into my office. So I come into my office. I said, look, guys, I said, I don't care what you do, but you go in there. When you go in there and you talk to her about signing these guys, I said, you make sure that you got Alice Cooper locked up. Mm-hmm. And then I said, because if you don't, he's going to take he'll take a chair or try to, I mean, he's a bad guy. I said, I know because I'm not here very long. I got a long time to go. They said, oh, well, gee, thanks a lot. We'll keep it in mind. So they go next door, and you can't believe what's happening next door. They're yelling and screaming.
Oh, my God.
He breaks off part of a chair. He went into a bucky. So they get out of the office, you know, and...
and they're signed.
I signed. Right here. Just sign right here. You'll do fine. And so they signed the contract right there in front of me. And it was just... It was ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I was going to say, Joe. So after all of this craziness and after all of this, you know, angst and argument and, you know, chair flinging, you sign Alice Cooper. And, you know, and it was during a time period that it was very questionable whether or not that was going to be a great idea.
Yes. it was far. I mean, we had signed the GTOs. Frank signed this crazy man, Frankie. I don't know if he got the marbles and run. I don't know what the name of his. He signed acts that were just so off the wall. You can't believe it. So I said to me, "Boy, I gotta get out of here. I gotta, you know, I gotta do something real fast.
I gotta leave."
And so I said, "Well, hello, how are you? What was your name, Frank?" And I said, "Yeah, fine. Yes, right over here. Stand right over here." And I left the company. I left it post haste.
Wow.
And it was you know, kind of like it was all right. It wasn't all right. It was okay.
Right.
You know, that was the whole shot of the thing, for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, and for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Joe Gannon, and you know, this kind of, it's kind of funny because I like the way you're skirting around, like, this kind of happened, yeah, there was a couple chairs flying, and then I kind of left, and it was like, no big deal. You're leaving a lot of details, and I'm going to leave that with you, because I know that you probably want to hold on to some of that, and I get that.
I don't really want to hold on to them. The thing of it is that I can't remember exactly what happened.
You know what? Look, we're making this sound really cool, Joe, man. So you got to work with me, okay? We got to do the whole, yeah, work with me, man. This whole mystique thing. No, you wind up. Ultimately, though, you know, with you know, some of the production and things like that, I mean, you do create a vision, you know, working with Shep and you know, and working with everybody, you know, for Alice, you know, and you know, you did it during a time period that there was a lot of friction, you know, there was a lot of question, you know, it was like, you know, battling it uphill, you know what I mean, and going against the wind and the grain of the industry, you know, and everybody not realizing that, you know, this could be a thing. You know, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, so, you know, what made you rise to that occasion, you know, to build that, you know, build that show behind Cooper?
Well, actually, I don't know where we were on this thing, but, you know, the Alice Cooper show, you know, happened sort of like secondary kind of thing. Chef said to me, you know, you gotta come and do this thing. You know, I said, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. In the meantime, I was doing Neil Diamond, and I was doing other things. And so I said, oh, yeah, what do you got in mind? He said, well, you know, he said, I, you know, come back to, you know, Newark or come back to, I think it was Connecticut sometimes. And the guys have got a house. Everything is reasonable, you know, and all I can do is show you what I did. And he shows me a check for $250,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You know.
Yeah.
So they gave me a contract for $25,000. And all of this is very vague. I mean,
that's a big deal. That's a big deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a big deal. So I'm jumping on the plane. He shows me the contract. I go back, and we arrive at this house in Connecticut that is unbelievable. Just great big Zoom whatever, and they tell me that you know, this is it. This is what we got. You got to work with us. And I said, okay, here we go.
And this is what you do.
I went back to the West Coast and started designing what I thought his show should be. And it turned out to be just a grand whole thing was just...
It was brilliant. What are you talking about, man? It was brilliant. Look, Joe,
Well, yeah.
It was brilliant. I'll tell you you're brilliant. That way it sounds good. How about that?
All right.
You are, though. Look, sweetheart, you are. Because, you know, you ultimately take something. And let's kind of backtrack for a second. Because Neil Diamond, all right, you're working on Neil as well. And that's, you know, that you're one of the first pioneers that started using moving sets, you know. And you started really, really diving into, hey, we need to make some action and we need to make some things happening so that the audience is engaged and that the audience is entertained, you know. And so you start, you know, your world starts working three-dimensional long before a lot of people thought that that was an option, you know.
That was really Neil Diamond. I came back. I'm doing Neil Diamond, and So what happens when I go back to Neil Diamond?
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, we're going to have to do this kind of stuff as the beginning, the middle, and the end, you know, the whole routine. And they say, yeah, well, yeah, fine, now what? So I went down to some place called Backstage Is Us or whatever, and I I got everything that I could out of Backstage.
Right.
And started this whole concept of what would happen, you know, with Neil Diamond if you did what I said you were going to do.
Right.
I said, okay, go do it. And so I said, all right, this is what it is. And it turned out to be, you know, Hot August Night. And it was just, that was really the star of the whole show.
Yes.
Prior to anything happening, you know.
Yes. Hot August Nights. Yeah, that, you know, that whole concert series. You know, you wound up bringing it to another level. You know, with the stage. You know,
yeah.
The stage, you know, and shows and things. And that's when everybody started. That's when everybody really started focusing in on you. You know, in designing. You know, and it was funny because I guess my question, you know, Joe, is what goes through your head when you look at an artist and go, this is what they need. What are you thinking? Where do you go in your head? What do you do?
Well, you know, it was one of those things that you never really sat down. If somebody walked in and said, hey, this is a certain guy, his name is blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I'll say, oh, how you doing, Mr. Blah, blah, how are you doing today? And he's got 35 records, and they're all smashes, and now you got to go do something. So I say, okay, give me about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Really?
And hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go in, and I'd sit down, and it would come to me. It would really just come to me, whatever would happen to me. And some of it would be, hey, listen, what I did last time with that they threw out that they didn't like works to perfectly with you.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things.
I got you.
It really is just you get into a situation and you make do with what you have, you know, and lots of times it's really out there. It's so, you know, like Barry Manilow, we did Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, well, I told Barry Manilow, I met Barry Manilow two or three times.
Right.
Finally, I said, look, this is what you got to do. I said, you either do it this way, and I do it, or, you know, we just part friends and, go on a merry way.
Right.
I said, you give me a call. That's really what it is.
Wow.
So I said, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. I'm going back to Maui to, you know, my restaurant. And all of a sudden, I get a call that he said, look, you got it. You do whatever you want to do.
Oh, wow.
I said, okay, let's go do it.
And so you get all of these shows. I said, you get all of these shows together. And you have to remember something, Joe. When you're doing all of this, it's not like the way things are now, you know, with all the special technology and gadgets and stuff. I mean, you're building this stuff from ground up scratch, you know, idea and to make this work. And that's a big thing. That's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it wasn't, and then it was. You know, it's one of those things that.
Well, that's your problem.
You did it, and you know, it just, you know, shit. I could go down to Bill Cosby. I traveled on the road with Bill Cosby.
Oh, yes.
You know, he did. You know, he'd come back. I never saw any of that stuff that he's talking about. By the way, I never did.
Okay.
Never did.
Okay.
We get in an airplane, we rent an airplane, boom, 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 and it was just he and I, and I had nothing to do except for, you know, staging whatever the opening act was.
Right,
it's my job to stage the act. Oh, great, let's go do it. You know?
And you're off and you're running. You've worked...
Yeah, I was up at,
go ahead, honey.
Liza Minnelli. Liza Minnelli. I spent 3 months Liza Minnelli. That's where I first met Bev. You know, we met each other.
That's right.
You know, we did three months of the most insane things. And, you know, there it was. It was all over. I mean, it was there, it's there, and it's gone. You know, it didn't matter. We took a show that was written by, what the hell is his name? He wrote it. He's a great guy. He wrote Penn. He wrote Broadway shows. I can't even think of it now, but he wrote three or four major hits on Broadway. He wrote this thing for Liza Minnelli.
Wow.
And so I get a call from the promoter this is a long story, but I'll tell you fast.
No, that's okay.
He gives me
go
a
ahead.
Call. I'm doing a television show with Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
It's a dialogue with people running in and out, and it's crazy. And they're like, "Hello, yes, hello. You got to get out here. You got to da 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 da." So I said, "Okay, send me the money. I can't. You send me the money." So he sends me the money and a paycheck of you know whatever, you know, some money to get to someplace in Louisiana. I get to Louisiana, and I walk into this place. Nothing is organized. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Nothing, nothing.
And that's
so
crazy.
I took it from the very beginning, and we restructured the whole thing, and I got to meet my wife.
That is crazy.
That was about the end of that.
That was about the end of that, but look at what happened. I mean, how cool was that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, everything from there just exploded. You know, I did Liza. Pardon me. We were having a great time. I end up with Liza.
Yes.
With a film that I had shot for Alice.
You did.
I shot on the last couple of days with Alice. And I showed it to everybody, and everybody went crazy, and that was the end of that. But in the meantime, you know, everything is running. I'm just doing everything. I don't know if you're making any sense of this conversation at all.
You are. You're making perfect sense. And, you know, for those of you tuning in, I'm talking to the amazing Joe Gannon. You know, and I was always told that I'm supposed to introduce you that way because apparently you're the amazing Joe Gannon.
Anyway, the act is the number one act in the country right now, but it's gone. It's past. It's history.
Okay.
And I walk in, and they say, you know, why don't you do this? I say, why don't you do this? I was smoking very heavily at that time.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, it all worked out. I wasn't even there. And Dan Stevenson is the guy that was working for me at the time. He put it all together. They don't even mention him. Joe Gannon, the amazing Joe Gannon, once again, comes to the rescue of the da 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 da.
You are a gem, baby. You said it. You came up and you said the story. I had heard that's ultimately what happened, and I was just going to see if you remembered it and if you would mention it, and you are cool as hell. You remember every last bit of it. I love it.
It was.
I love it. Well, listen.
I'd like to continue that, but I, you know, we have lots more to say.
Of course, we do.
We have lots more to do, and I'm enjoying this very, very much. And but you got to remember, I'm 86.
Oh, you know what? You're still sharp as a tack. What are you talking about?
And see, well, listen. I'm not sharp as a tack, but I'm pretty sharp. Anyway,
you're pretty sharp. And see, Joe, one of the reasons that it's important to me that I even talk to you is that you've seen it all. You know, you were there in the beginning. You were there when the industry was getting started. You know, when the industry wasn't even an industry yet. You know what I mean? And everybody was trying to figure it out. And I always have this thing that, you know, there's always an answer in the past. Okay. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, because I'm always looking to the future and I'm always looking ahead, you know, where I need to go. But, you know, for people like somebody like you, you know, you have a whole, you have a handbook, you have a rule book, or you have, you know, the history book. And, you know, there are some things that you've done that are tried and true, and it doesn't matter what year it happened. You know, it doesn't matter what technology is available or not. You know, your methods, your idea, you know, your heart, you know, is still the same. And so, you know, it's very important, especially now with the way that the industry is going and what everybody is doing, and, you know, everybody seems like all these things are happening. Everything is new. Everything is different. Everybody's trying to be heard. Everybody is trying to be noticed. To me, these things that are happening is no different than what happened, you know, in the 40s and 50s and 60s. In fact, I think, you know, history is repeating itself right now. And so when I talk to somebody like you, I'm like, okay, he has an answer. You know what I mean? And also, too, I don't think you realize, Joe, just how inspiring you were to a very, very, you know, specific core group of people, you know what I mean, that worked with you on these productions and worked with you on these stage shows and worked with you. They take pieces, even the crazy fun, they take those pieces with them and they apply it to what they do now. I don't know you if you realize that.
Well, you don't realize that the guy that's a major lighting designer right now, he didn't know thing one about lighting when I he was a guitar player, he was a road manager, and now he's a lighting designer for everybody on this, and I can't even think of his name, but I know him very well. And you know, the various different people that, you know, the guy that runs Anyway, it's a long, long, long story, and I would go back and I'd write it all down, but I don't have it. written down right now, and I'm a little bit remorse with that.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, and maybe, you know, honey, you know, maybe that's something that, you know, that we can work on, you know, and stuff with some of your stories and some of your stuff, and, you know, maybe get those things, you know, and get those things kind of down, because you are a piece of history. You know, you're a piece of history that everybody takes with them, and, you know, and the amazing, you know, you don't have to remember names and things. What you do remember is what you thought. You know, when somebody came to you and said you built the show, I mean, you did some crazy stuff. You did some out of the park things, you know? And, you know, the thing I get from you, Joe, is that you were just going to figure it out. And, you know, and you lived your world in color. You lived in a three-dimensional, you know, headspace. And you were just going to make it come to life. And you were going to do whatever it was you had to do to make that work. You know?
That's true. That's absolutely true. It's strictly what I felt, and you know, you get down to rubbing it this way or that way. It really doesn't matter.
It doesn't,
because the way I felt, I just took it and I ran with it. That was it.
One of the more successful, groups of people that, you know, I wind up getting to talk to, follow a lot with you. The beautiful thing also too is that I could be talking to you and we could be talking about Alice Cooper Shock Rock, but then on the same sentence, we're talking about Neil Diamond, and then you're talking about Madonna, and then you're talking about Hello Dolly. I mean, you have such an array, you know, of genres and sounds. You know, it was ultimately, you know, you just understanding, you know, what needed to happen, you know, based upon, you know, an artist, no matter what style they were. And that's important too.
Well, you know, it's, you bring my life forefront, and
yes.
I really appreciate that. And so, with that in mind, I got to hang up, and I'm running out of gas. But I want to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
I want to talk to you at length.
Absolutely.
I got stories that will blow your mind, and I can sit down and talk to you.
Absolutely.
But right now,
we will.
You have got me.
Honey, we will talk, and we will spend some time even off air. Okay, I want to thank you so much. Everybody is wishing you, you know, love, you know, and wishing you well. You and I, we will catch up soon, and I promise. Okay,
for sure.
All right,
I got lots of stories, love.
But baby, I'm gonna get every last bit of it. So don't you worry about it. All right, sweetheart. Listen, get you some rest, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
God bless you.
All right, baby.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. That was the amazing Joe Gannon. That was part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Alerts, you know, and the series that we do here on Radio Memphis, brought to you by Ken Barr Films and Radio Memphis. I don't know if anybody really kind of realizes just what a treat it was that we even had Joe Gannon, you know, live on air. It has been a very, 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 very long time since he's actually sat down, you know, publicly and even really talked with anybody. And I hate to think that we actually wore him out. But, you know, the amazing thing is that we were able to strike some memories with him. And I know in my heart of all hearts, I know that we're going to wind up getting some other things and getting some other stories and stuff. And we're going to make it really comfortable for him to where he can sit down and kind of remember a couple things, maybe go through some of his notes. You know, this is a gentleman that was very, very impactful, you know, when you're talking about, you know, stage and, you know, and putting on shows and, you know, and touring. You know, he was somebody that not only did he do stuff for labels and stuff, he did stuff with A&R, you know, he did stuff for design, he did road managing, you know, and he actually, you know, helped really kind of steer, you know, some of the artists' careers. And what's important is the type of artists that he talked about. You heard the list at the very, very, very beginning, and I knew that was important for him to get out. And that list included just so many different people that really did shape, you know, kind of the music sound that we all are accustomed to and that we all kind of go to. And, you know, here's somebody that was a part of all of that. All right. I can't thank you enough, Joe Gannon, you know, for being on Radio Memphis. You know, we love you very much here. And you guys, you will hear more from him and you'll hear some more stories. All right. In the meantime, what we're going to do is that we're going to go ahead and carry on, you know, with some more music right here in Radio Memphis Around the World. You guys don't go anywhere, because right up next, I got another request. Believe it or not, we got some Bob Kulick for you, Eyes of a Stranger, right here only on Radio Memphis. Stranger, stranger.
proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.